T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ed, that's a nice intro, wouldn't you agree?
I would, Joe.
It's wonderful to have you again. And my first question, big story within the last week about the 18-game schedule rears its ugly head yet again. We've been talking about this for almost a decade, I suppose. Is this going to happen, Ed, anytime soon? And in your opinion, should it happen?
I don't think so, and I don't like it. And I remember discussing this with Dan Rooney years ago. He said the more games you add, the less important each game is. You're watering down each game's importance. And he was dead set against the 18-game schedule. I think the players are dead set against it, but, you know, it's in their hands because if they approve it, then they're not dead set against it. And they have to approve it for them to go to 18. So, you know, everybody's worried about the players and how it's going to affect them health-wise, everything else. And not just health-wise. I mean, you know, it gets to a point where you keep adding games. And like I said, they're less important. And then maybe the players are not giving it their all every game. And maybe not because they don't want to. Maybe they can't because they're wearing down.
Ed, I see no way this 18-game limit to 16 could ever work. I know Joe's point is that maybe this is just a bargaining chip for the owners. It says, okay, we'll take this off the table. You give us something. Could that be?
Everything could be a bargaining position, Ron. You know, from that to legalizing the use of marijuana by players, you know, I'm sure there's going to be all that stuff. It is a lot of give and take. You remember the last time they did it in 2011, the Steelers were the only team that voted against it because they felt the commissioner had too much power over, you know, things like punishments, mainly. I think that's what it was, suspensions and that kind of thing. But the players gave in, even though the other teams' players gave in, even though they didn't want it either. But, you know, it was coming crunch time, and they were going to start losing money.
Do you see a potential work stoppage ahead?
One way or the other, either. I think the NFL back in 87 kind of figured it out a little bit when they had the strike camps and then had the replacement teams when the players went on strike. But I think the last time they did it, they had the lockout. The management did, and they locked everybody out. There was nothing going on. Training camp started late, everything else. And I think that's what we'll see if there's a work stoppage. I think more that the owners will, you know, fire the first shot because they don't want the players to dictate when they're going out, which is what they did after two games in 87. The players walked out. And the owners were prepared, but still, I don't think they want to deal with that again.
Ed, you had an interesting story last week about Mike Tomlin. Maybe there's some opposition inside the building to giving him an extension. I personally think only one man's opinion really matters, is Art II. And you kind of laid out there why you think it's going to happen. Is there a lot of opposition to Mike Tomlin among maybe the minority owners?
No, I don't think so, Ron. And I didn't. You know, that's a report. I believe it was Pro Football Talk. It happened, I think, in each of the past 2 years. They wrote that there was minority owners who didn't want to give him an extension. And I think even went so far as they wanted to replace him. Who knows how many there are. I would think it's only one or two. Although it did say owners, minority owners. There's within the building, Ron. I didn't write that. I don't know of any discontent in the building with Mike Tomlin. I really don't. I think they're all in the same boat. And what I'm talking about is the decision makers. You know, the Kevin Colbert, Omar Khan, if you want, and Art Rooney. I think they all like having Mike as their coach. And I wrote that story. The comments were ridiculous that I got on that thing. You know, they called me a homer and everything else. And I didn't write that. This is what I think. I said, this is what I think is going to happen.
What do you think?
I think they're going to give him an extension.
No, what's your opinion? Should they?
Yeah, I do think they should. I mean, I don't know what he has done to be fired, if you will. You know, I mean, coaches get fired all the time. Some with teams that don't have enough patience. And I don't see where Mike has really done anything to lose his job.
Isn't there an in-between there, though, between firing, which, yes, would be drastic and unnecessary, and simply waiting? Like, what would be the harm in not giving him an extension before
well,
this
like
season?
Like I said, like I wrote in that my story, Joe, the Steelers long have extended their coaches with 2 years left. If they don't do it, I think that can be a disruption in itself. It'll be a question all year long, every time something happens. And I know other teams do it. The Dallas Cowboys, I think, are doing it this year.
Shouldn't there be some serious questions, though, Ed, based on everything that's gone down, what went down last year, one of the great collapses in the history of the franchise, 3 playoff wins in 8 years? Shouldn't it maybe be a time to part from tradition and wait on an extension?
Well, you could argue that, and people are debating that, Joe. You asked my opinion. I don't think so. No, I don't see last year as his fault. I think I've said this a million times. While there's other things that went on, you could reduce last year to the kicker if you want. The kicker made the kicks the year before. They went 13-3. He didn't make them this year. They went 9-6-1. I mean, it really you can boil it down to that.
Our guest is Ed Bouchette, our Steelers insider here at 93.7 The Fan. Ed, is there going to be any more signings other than Tomlin, maybe Colbert? I know they did Pouncey in the offseason, obviously, with Ben. Is there anybody else that's headed into the last year where they usually try to extend them?
Yeah, there are 3 starters on defense, Ron, and I don't know that they're going to get any of them done. There's actually 4, but they're not going to do Bud Dupree. There's Joe Hayden. There's Sean Davis, and there's Javon Hargrave. And I don't know that they're going to get any of them done. I think the debate on Hayden is, while he's been very good for them, he's 30, and how high and how long are you going to go? On the other hand, who's in the corners, you know? Who is emerging who is going to be better than him over the next 2 years? I don't see anybody. I mean, the draft pick in the 3rd round, we got to wait and see. But they just paid big money to the other one that they signed from Kansas City, and I don't know that they're going to get him done. Sean Davis, people I think are down on him, but I think he's still going to be good. They've moved him all around in that defense. He played free safety for the first time in his life last year. I think his second year is going to be better at that position. So he's the one I think that could be signed more than anybody.
Those are interesting. We're talking to Ed Bouchette, our Steelers insider. Those 2 cases are really interesting. Explain again the Sean Davis situation. Ed, he's going into what, year 4? So it would be...
Right. He played some corner and safety at Maryland. And when he first came here, they were using him in the slot as a kind of cornerback. And then when Artie Burns took over the corner, they moved Willie inside. And so Sean was able to play his normal position, a strong safety, which is where he played his second year.
I meant his contractual situation, if you could explain, explain that.
I mean, this is his last year.
So he could be unrestricted after this year?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting. I'm curious to see if in his second year at free safety, if he takes off a little bit, becomes a little more of a playmaker. And then Hayden, that one, that's a tough call for me. I don't know that I'm investing a ton of money in a 30-year-old guy who's been really good here, I think, but who has a history, a recent, really, injury history. That's a lot of money for a guy who's going to turn, what, 31, right?
I don't think he turns 31 this year. I think he's 30 this year, Joe. Yeah, that's the debate that they're having, you know, what to do. And corners make an enormous, good corners make an enormous amount of money. And that's what, you know, do you commit that to him? And how do you commit it? Is it guaranteed? Is it in a signing bonus? Or, you know, if you put it in a salary, and the players know this too, it's not guaranteed. If he does go, you know, fall off, you don't have to, you know, you can cut him before that, let's say, 2021 season.
And I don't believe any of us have really had a chance to talk to Ben since mini camp ended. I just keep thinking that he's one of the most motivated athletes I've ever been around, competitive athletes. I got to think he's even driven more to show that they can still be successful without Antonio and Le'Veon. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree, Ron. I think there are really three people who are going into this season highly motivated, if not, you know, before, but for reasons like that. There's one in Oakland, there's one with the Jets, and there's Ben. You know, they all want to show something. It wasn't me, it was them, you know, that kind of thing. And so I do believe that Ben falls in that category. I think, you know, so does Bell and Brown.
Ben has been relatively injury-free the past, really, 2-3 years, Ed.
He's not going to like hearing you say that, Joe. You sound like you're jinxing him there.
No, but he is 37. My question is, the backup quarterback role, I think, could be, at least, pretty important. Do you think there's an actual battle that's going to happen? Or do you think they really, really want Rudolph to win that and that he's going to have the inside track from the start?
Yeah, well, I think he does have the inside track, Joe. I think they just would go with the best one. You know, whoever shows the most promise and gets the job done. And I think Mason, from what I was told, did a really good job in the spring. His arm was stronger. His mechanics better. He worked with some people on all that stuff. And, you know, last year he was a rookie. Dobbs had a year in, so they went with Dobbs. There will be competition because they're not going to just hand the job to him, but they believe that Rudolph's going to be number two.
At any other position battles, right tackle, you hear, I personally think Filer's going to be that guy. He was that guy last year, and I thought he handled himself very admirably. I guess maybe some competition at wide receiver behind Juju. I mean, what is the most intriguing position battle for you?
Yeah, I don't see a battle at right tackle, Ron. I think it's Filer's job. I think that there will be some competition behind Juju with Moncrief and James Washington. Maybe the rookie can make a splash a little bit, Deontay Johnson. And then the slot between Ryan Switzer and Eli Rogers, I think Switzer will win that. Then you have inside linebacker. That's really the only other position, I think, where there's real competition between Mark Barron, who they signed after the Rams cut him, between Vince Williams, and, of course, between the rookie Devin Bush. I think Bush got the job. I think the competition's going to be between Barron and Vince Williams. But however it falls out, I think all three of those guys will play a lot this year, and I think that they have a whole lot better depth and talent at that position than they've had since Ryan Shazier went down.
Ed, great stuff, as it is every week. We appreciate it.
All right, fellas, it's always good to be with you.
Goodbye.
Before the rain comes.
Yeah, I know. Thank you, Ed.
Okay, see you next week, maybe.
There he goes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.